So it's happy birthday to the church today. And I wonder how we celebrate our birthdays normally. We normally like to come together as family, to celebrate, to offer gifts to one another. And of course, in this season, we perhaps have had to celebrate the birth of perhaps a recent grandchild or child of a friend. Who we have not yet been able to meet. But we may well have sent a gift as a token of that future face-to-face meeting, perhaps a little heirloom of the family that, as a mark of the inheritance that the new child is going to be part of that family. And it was slightly similar to that in Jerusalem. The disciples were gathering in celebration. They were observing the different festivals at that time. And the Pentecost was a multiple festival of the harvest offering of the new grain, the first fruits that were being offered, and also celebrating that the law had been given in Sinai 50 days after the Hebrews fled from Egypt. So it was celebrating the birth of the Jewish nation. Now, God had a rather special plan. He was going to give a gift to the new church, to those who were meeting, who were coming together, who had worked with and walked with Jesus throughout his time on earth, and who had seen him ascend and had been told to wait for this gift that was coming to them. As Jesus said to them, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him because he abides with you. Now, what a wonderful promise that is, that the Spirit is with us. And the Spirit came because Jesus asked of the Father. God sent the Holy Spirit, who arrived upon the disciples at that first, on that occasion of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And then the Spirit worked through the disciples through the various gifts he had to offer them. And we'll be exploring that in a moment. But I just want to put us in the context of this letter, because the problems at Corinth were that they were misusing the spiritual things. There was a tension, what's called dualism, between the spirit and the body. And they were saying, well, actually, it doesn't matter what we do physically with our bodies because they are so unimportant. And ironically, that led to a lot of immoral behavior. And Paul was writing to the Christians at Corinth to say, you've got this entirely wrong, and you're putting too much emphasis, particularly on the gift of tongues, of speaking spiritual language through the Holy Spirit. And so he said to them, now concerning the things of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I would not have you ignorant. And that Holy Spirit, which came upon the disciples at Pentecost, is also there with us. And what the giving of the Holy Spirit shows is that there is such a diversity of gifts that the Spirit brings. There's a diversity in the unity of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in our reading, we read that the one Spirit brings us a variety of gifts, that one Lord helps us through a variety of ways of serving one another, and one Father God gives us a variety of works that he calls us to perform, that he performs in our lives. And so the Trinity is a wonderful model of how God works in the diversity of the way that he works in each one of us, but in the unity of the Trinity. So these gifts, the acts of service that we give to one another, the different ways of working as Christians are all for building up the fellowship. What again Paul is saying to the Corinthian Christians is, this isn't for your benefit, this is for the benefit of the whole community. And the wonderful thing, of course, about the Holy Spirit is that he blows where he wishes. He gives us gifts that are appropriate to us as we are placed where he wants us to work. And whilst he offers that whole range, that diversity of gifts, some of which are listed within the reading today, we are all different, and we will all be called to live out these gifts of the Spirit in different ways. And what's really important is we need to realize that the outworking of the Spirit is not for promoting ourselves, but it is indeed for exalting Jesus as Lord. And so while these gifts, for a time and a place in the story of our history, they are revealed, they reveal God through the gifts or by the fruit that we receive. Not all will necessarily have discernible spiritual gifts, but each should bear the fruit of the Spirit. And while that work of the Spirit exists in many different ways, it is the health of the church which is revealed by him working in those different ways in each of us. And of course, while he blows where he wishes, we can choose to respond. And we may deny the work of the Spirit in our lives and embrace the ordinariness of a spiritually dry life. Or we may embrace the Spirit and celebrate the extraordinary within a Spirit-filled life. And it is that that presence of the Spirit in our in the lives of the active Christian that differentiates us. And as we might still be seeking an understanding of God, so we can ask him to come to us through the power and presence of his Spirit. As Paul writes elsewhere, he says, "Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" And of course, that is the answer he was leading the Galatians to whom he was writing to understand, that it was not what they did, but what God did in their lives. So we can choose to accept the gift of the Spirit as believers, and we can confirm the acceptance of the Spirit by faith, by what we hear and how we respond. For the Spirit has marked us with his seal as God's children. Just as I said at the beginning, where we can't perhaps yet meet up with newly born grandchildren, we can send them a gift as a token of them being part of our family. And so God has sent the Holy Spirit as a token of us being part of his family as children of our Heavenly Father. So while the Holy Spirit is crucial to the birthing of that nascent Christian church, he is also a crucial element in our salvation as we enter into living the life called to by Jesus Christ. And as I draw to a close, I would leave us with a couple of questions for us to take away, to think about, and to ask God to show perhaps the answer to us. Firstly, where is the Spirit blowing in your life? Are you letting him blow into those areas where perhaps it's got a bit dusty, where the cobwebs have been allowed to grow? And secondly, how has he revealed himself in you? For to use that gift, that particular expression of the spiritual things in your life for the benefit of our community. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, So with yourselves, since you are eager for spiritual gifts, strive to excel in them for building up the church. Amen.